In this week's Complaint Corner, Superman Legacy, Netflix games, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve, and first we are going to talk about Superman Legacy. So we already knew that Superman Legacy was going to be the first real entry in James Gunn's newly rebooted kind of DC film universe. And now we know that James Gunn himself is going to direct it. So I feel a little conflicted on this because I love James Gunn as a director. Like, I think he has yet to make a bad comic book movie. I thought the Suicide Squad was awesome. I thought both of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies were great. But I'm not, like, both of those movies, or all three, I should say, of those movies have a very distinctive, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, haha, look at me kind of tone. And I just don't know if that's quite the right tone for Superman. What do you feel about this, Steve?
I mean, I agree it's not, but that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it is probably what's going to happen. I think that Superman is going to be a lot funnier in this new reboot, presumably, which isn't exactly a bad thing, because, I mean, Superman, the latest Superman, have all been so incredibly dour and down and you know, oh God, look at me, I am Jesus, and I am sacrificing everything for your sins. Like, that's kind of, like, the only thing that's been going on with his character in Zack Snyder's version of Superman. So, like, I get wanting him to be a little bit brighter and funnier. I just worry about that being the right kind of brighter and funnier with James Gunn.
It's not.
Okay. I'm glad that you kind of agree with me on this, because yeah, it's weird. I'm nervous about this one now. As, like, I was all for James Gunn, like, being the creative, you know, head mind behind all of these movies, but to have him direct at least the first one, and I would assume several more of them going forward, I don't know. It just worries me a little bit. Cause I just, James Gunn is an awesome guy and an awesome director, but I just, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. And I worry about it, but I also haven't seen the movie yet.
I mean,
still,
I'm worried about I don't even know how to describe it. You just know it when you see it, but, like, what the modern comedy is. And I know that's not helpful, but the best example that I can think of in recent memory here is the trailer for that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Did you see that trailer?
Oh, sure. I did see that trailer. Yeah.
And it's got, like, that, like the extending the joke for, like, three or four sentences too long, you know, to make it, like, awkward, because the awkward part's the funny part, according to the formula. And I'm worried that we're going to get that, because that was in Suicide Squad 2, or The Suicide Squad, or whatever the fuck the second one was called.
The
Suicide Squad. So that was in that, too. And, you know, yeah, we all laughed, I guess, but that's not what Superman's all about. And I am concerned that we're going to have a quippy Superman, which I am not looking forward to.
Yeah, I don't really want,
as much as I Superman. Hated bummer Superman, we can just play him straight laced. He doesn't have to be, like, you know, he doesn't flip the dial the other way and turn him into fucking Spider-Man.
Right, exactly. Like, it's a tricky balance with Superman, because he's supposed to be this, like, idealistic, like, poster boy for superheroes as a whole, you know, like, if you have
he's supposed
him quip,
to be bigger than you,
yeah,
metaphorically
he's supposed to be
bigger than
you.
You,
yeah, bigger than you in every way, you know, like, he is the ideal, at least that's the that's what the original,
the heavy handed implications,
yes, and that's harder to do when you are having him make off color jokes. Like, it just doesn't sit quite right.
You know who did a really good fucking Superman? And I know that I do this every time, but the Justice League cartoon just did the best Superman. And all you have to do is that again.
I mean, yeah, actually. Like, the Justice League cartoon did a great job. The Superman animated series, which is, like, very much related to that, also did a really good job. Where
he
was
the same Superman, so...
It's the same Superman. And yeah, I think that they did a great job at, like, having him, like, still be happy... And, like, he did make the occasional joke. It's not like he had no humor. But he still felt like Superman. He still felt like, you know, the ultimate Boy Scout. the ultimate Boy Scout who is at least partially self-aware. So like maybe they can do that again here. I don't know. It's just, that's not the style of film that James Gunn usually makes. Like if he makes a really good Superman movie, it's going to be a very, very different type of film than all of the other films he's made. And I just don't see that happening.
I blame Deadpool.
You blame Deadpool? Yeah, okay.
I blame Deadpool.
See, I wouldn't blame Deadpool, personally. I know who I would blame. I blame Iron Man. I think the popularity of Iron Man and, like, the way that he was treated in the MCU. I mean, like, when Joss Whedon made his, the first two Avengers movies, he basically made every character feel like Iron Man. Like, all of them were making, like, the...
You know what? That's fair. Yes, everybody did catch Iron Man-itis towards the end there. That is definitely true.
He very
people
much
like
did.
Iron Man.
And so do I. Like, I absolutely love Iron Man.
I guess you could argue the other way around, that everybody caught Batman-itis in the DC universe then. Because
everybody was a bummer. I think that's true. Yeah. And with Marvel, everyone caught Iron Man-itis. And with DC, everyone caught Batman-itis. I think that's a reasonable way to describe it. Yeah. And there should be somewhere in the middle, and that's where Superman should be. You know, like, he can't be... those are two extremes that just don't suit Superman well. And I don't know. I'm a little nervous about this, but I'm going to try to keep an open mind. Because, you know what? At the end of the day, it can't be worse than what we've gotten. Like, there's nowhere to go with...
I guess there's that. I guess no matter what, it can't be bad, so... Or it can't be worse.
It can't be worse, I guess. It can't be worse.
Differently bad.
Yeah, DC has been in a downward spiral for, like, basically the last 10 years. And every time they try to, like, figure out a way to get out of that spiral, they just sink a little bit further.
I'll tell you what, though. This trend of what is considered funny in movies is making me really worried for the D&D movie.
Oh, yeah. Which is coming out very soon, and I also
very
think
soon.
That...
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Holy shit. Yep. And, yeah, that one
got my tickets.
Very much... It looks very opening Marvelized, that movie does.
Yes, the trailers do give me that impression as well, that it's going to have... Well, Chris Pine especially is going to be our Iron Man of this movie. He's going to be our fucking Captain Quips-a-Lot, and somebody has to be, and it might as well be the Bard, but I am a little concerned that everybody's going to be that guy, and I don't want that, but it's getting really good reviews, so I'm hoping that
it is
good. But also, on the other hand, it might be getting really good reviews because people who review it have just fallen into the trend of quippy non sequiturs or stammering humor, I guess we'll call it, humor.
I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong about this because it's been a few years, but I'm pretty sure that the original Justice League, the one made by Joss Whedon, I'm pretty sure that one got pretty good early reviews, because at the time we were all sick of the super sad and dreary DC universe, but instead we got the horrifying abomination that is Joss Whedon's Justice League. And even us at the time were relatively positive about it, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had that same reaction to Wonder Woman just because it had a fucking spark of color in the desolate wasteland of grayness that is the DC universe. But I would definitely go back and punch myself in the head for thinking that, because it's not anywhere near as good as I said it was.
I tend to agree. I do think that Wonder Woman is at least a good movie, like overall. Like, I still think it's better than average, you know.
It beats the fuck out of the Superman movie, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I still think Shazam was their only foyer into life. But I hear that Shazam 2 did not perform well, so.
Shazam 2 is not doing well yet. I mean, it's only...
Also, Black Adam kind of sucked dick, so they couldn't even keep that up.
Did you watch Black Adam? Did you ever You did? Okay. I don't remember. Did you listen to my review of it, or no? I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't remember anymore.
Okay, that's fine.
I feel like I probably did.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. But, oh man, Black Adam. Like, that one was...
Yes, oh man, Black Adam.
I think it's really funny. Like, I think that there's a good chance here. And this wasn't going to be one of our news things today, but we might as well. Because the new Shazam, what is it, Fury of the Gods, because that one seems to not be doing very well in the box office, And because they're rebooting sort of their DC universe.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
I really, like, there's a very good chance that, like, we're not going to get any more Shazam or Black Adam movies. And that's hilarious to me. Like, I think it's so funny that after years of development, I mean, Black Adam, I think, was in development for like 10 or 15 years. Like, it took forever for them to make that movie. And after years of development, we got a Black Adam movie, and then less than 6 months later, we got another Shazam movie, and they don't reference each other at all, and that's it. Like, they are not going to be making any more after that. That's fucking hilarious. Like, what the hell? Like, how did they fuck this up so bad? How do you make, like, that's like making a Joker and a Batman movie separately, and having them not interact, and but having no connections between them after never having seen them interact in live action ever before. You know, like, it's a little bit different with Batman because, you know, we've seen so many different variations of Batman and Joker, but, like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, these are, like, they're you know, two sides of the same coin. I mean, Black Adam is Shazam's, like, main enemy. And they have not interacted at all on screen, despite being in three separate films.
Well, that's
films.
Because they're fucking making Black Adam out to be a pseudo-hero. Just like, yes, they're making Harley Quinn out to be a pseudo-hero.
That is, yes. No, that's absolutely true. Which, I don't know why they decided to go that direction with Black Adam. Like, I'm all for, like, having an anti-hero.
Because The Rock doesn't play bad guys.
Yeah, that is literally it. It's just, like, The Rock is so full of himself that he doesn't want to play bad guy. He doesn't
want to... Except for that one time in Doom.
Wait. Was he in Doom? I have not seen Doom.
He was in Doom. He was the bad guy in Doom.
I think... Oh, yeah, wasn't he also... He was the Scorpion King, right? In, like,
Scorpion King was the hero of that story.
No, he was not the hero of that story, but he was the
villain. Matter of opinion.
Okay, fair enough.
And for the record, that was weird CGI, The Rock. I don't know if that really counts.
That's true. Yeah, no, that was like horrible, ugly, early 2000s The Rock.
I guess he did play the live-action Scorpion King in The Mummy 3, I think.
I think he did, which was, again...
Who could ever say?
I think that he showed up as the horrifying CGI monster in, I think it was the first
in
movie.
In 2, yes.
Was it, or, no, was
him
it
and
Mummy
Emo, because Brendan Fraser and Emotep had to team up to go fight him, and he was out for a couple seconds. Then they put him back in the box because they needed Emotep to do it. And then I think Emotep died again. And I think in 3, it's just the Scorpion King.
Yeah, I think the third one is just the Scorpion King. Yeah.
And his army of, like, Jekyll men.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'm pretty sure you're right about that.
And then they made a fourth one with Tom Cruise that I never saw.
No, yeah, we don't want to talk about that one. I've not seen that
one. You know, for the Dark Universe.
Yeah, I remember that when that was going to be a thing for all of 2 months. Like,
what else
I remember.
Do we have in that universe besides The Mummy?
Literally nothing. Nothing else has been released. I think that the original plan, they were going to make, like, an Invisible Man movie.
Well,
and I think
they actually did make an Invisible Man movie. It's just, I don't think, related to that.
Oh, wait, yeah, they did do that, didn't they? I think they retooled the Invisible Man movie that they were working on and made it something, like, you know, just completely separate.
It was like a horror movie with that guy that was stalking that lady.
Yeah. I've not seen that movie.
Neither have I.
But I don't think it has any connections to the wider Dark Universe that they were...
I can't imagine it does. I was waiting for the Frankenstein movie, though. We haven't had a good Frankenstein movie in a long time.
I mean, I feel like Frankenstein movies are, like, one of those things that they just have to, like, pump out every, like, 6 or 7 years. Like, there's always another
one. But there hasn't been one. But there hasn't
been one. I think... What was the last one that came out? I feel like there was, like, a Frankenstein... I want to say it was, like, Frankenstein Unchained or something like that. Can't be right.
Well, that sounds like nonsense. The last movie I remember with Frankenstein being in it was that fucking Van Helsing movie where he was a side character. Yeah.
I remember that one.
And that was, like, 2002. So
I remember that movie with that Dracula was in that too, wasn't he the main?
Yes, he was. Villain? Yes.
Yeah.
And he also there was also a werewolf, and also Van Helsing was a werewolf.
Yeah, Van Helsing. Yeah. I remember all of that now.
Man,
which
I just love
so
how the fucking Dracula Van Helsing mythos thing has been, like, shifted as time has gone on.
Yes.
To make Van Helsing out to be, like, the super badass vampire slayer instead of, like, an old man boob.
It is actually really funny when you think about it. Like I feel like if Bram Stoker was still alive, like, he would be so disappointed with how his work has been twisted over the last, you know, 100 years or however long it's been.
Maybe.
Like, what, did you
just
know,
fucking stick to Castlevania. That's the most fucking accurate.
Did you know that
fucking...
currently, I'm not completely caught up, but did you know that in the most recent Marvel comics that I've been reading, the vampires have now created their own country, which is right in the middle of Chernobyl, in Russia, because they are the only creatures that can live near Chernobyl and not die. So that is like they have carved out their own little country now that I can't remember what they called it, but it's not Transylvania. It's something much, much stupider. I think it's like vampire something. I can't remember.
Nice.
And Blade is now sheriff of this vampire country. That was like,
are you telling me that Blade is immune to radiation?
Yes, that is what I'm telling you. Yes, Blade is immune to radiation because he is part vampire. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that that's interesting. I also just think it's weird how much, like, vampire shit we've gotten. I mean, there was the Twilight movies, and I think that they're making...
Bitches love vampires, that's true.
That is true. I think they're making a Renfield movie right now. I saw a trailer.
They are making a Renfield movie that has goddamn fucking...
Something Holt, right? I can't remember his...
I don't know. That's not the headline, though.
Oh, all right.
The headline is, who's playing Dracula?
Oh, yeah, Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, the whole movie is about
also,
Renfield trying to... Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but the whole movie is about Renfield.
Yeah, it's about Renfield fucking finding people for Dracula to eat, which is just, like, hilarious.
Well, he's trying to get out of the toxic relationship that is his relationship with
Dracula.
Yeah, I know.
It's very cute. I'm sure it'll be fun, but...
It's
been a long time since we had a good old-fashioned Dracula.
It really has been. Like, I feel like at this point, Dracula is almost cliche. Where if you just
He is cliche.
If you just, like, make a vampire movie that has Dracula and you just play him straight, you know, like, if you're just like, this is Dracula and he's
But how
a
do
bad,
you play
bad
him
guy.
Straight? Which version of Dracula do you play?
I don't know.
Do you play brooding old man, all wrinkly guy? Do you play fucking 8-foot-tall sexy guy? Do you play, like, gross demon monster guy? Like, what's the straight version of Dracula look like?
In my mind, like, the straight version of Dracula is like an older man, someone in, like, their 50s or 60s, who is, like, very suave, like, very, you know, like, kind of, like, sexy, but has, like, this underlying, like, threat, you know, like the kind of person who, like, the more time you spend with him, the more uncomfortable you feel. That to me is like the quintessential Dracula, like someone who is unassuming at first glance, but it's like the more you know them and the deeper you dig into who they are, like, the more threatening they appear. That's how I would approach Dracula if I were to ever make a Dracula movie, which I'm not going to do because I'm not a director at all.
But you're allowed to. It's public domain. You could just do it.
I could. I guess I could, yeah.
Like Winnie the Pooh. You can just do it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's why we've gotten so many Dracula movies. It's public domain, so, like, you can just do that, and that's fine. I get it.
It's not as cool as making a Robin Hood movie.
Oh, God. No more Robin Hood movies. Can I make
yes,
that?
Yes, please,
that's
more Robin Hood movies.
That's my rule. That's you want.
What's wrong
more
with Robin Hood movies?
What, because they all suck. Like most.
Well,
of
so
them,
far, all the Dracula movies suck too.
I mean, okay, that's fine. Yeah, you know, the Dracula.
Nothing wrong
movies
with the property.
Great.
It just means they're doing a bad job of adapting it. That's all.
I mean, I guess, but, like, I think the last Robin Hood that movie they made was just, like, abysmal. Like, it was. I think it had Taron Egerton as Robin
Hood.
I
don't know who that is, but the problem with that version was probably they tried to play it like a straight man, sort of like rebel without a cause kind of thing, when they, what they should have done was do Men in Tights again.
You know what the best Robin Hood movie is, in my opinion?
It's Men in Tights.
It's not Men in Tights. I mean, I love Men in Tights. Men in Tights is, in my opinion, the second best. But no, I think the best Robin Hood movie is the animated one, where isn't he like a fox or something?
The Disney one.
Yeah, the Disney one. I think that's the best Robin Hood movie. That's where I stand.
Mm-hmm. Followed very closely
by Men in Tights. And I don't know, I'm trying to remember the other Robin Hood movies I've seen. There's one with Russell Crowe, I think. Mm-hmm. The only reason I remember that one is because I played the Robin Hood video game for the PlayStation 2.
Wow, movie tie-in Robin Hood video game. Jesus yeah. Christ.
I couldn't tell you why I played that. I was just a young lad and didn't know any better. But yeah, not a very good game.
No, I bet it wasn't.
All I really remember about that game was there is this one level that I found like really difficult for some reason, where you had to like shoot arrows over like this lake or something. There was like this frozen lake and you had to shoot arrows over it. And I found that challenging for some reason, but it's been so long, I can't remember like what was challenging about it, just that I had a hard time with it.
All right.
Anyway, sorry. Kind of a weird dark segue universe. There.
Dark Robin universe. Hood's in the dark universe. That's what we were getting at.
Oh, you know what? If they were to do a dark universe and have Robin Hood be a part of it and like maybe give him some superpowers or something.
That's called the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. We already have that yeah. movie.
Yeah, okay, but what if we did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but like did it better? Like what if just
well, that's probably fine. I'm sure that would be a hoot.
And you know what? I have a weird love for the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie. Like not that it's good. Like I think everyone knows that it's not a very good movie, but like
we all love Sean Connery's 16-wheel car, and we all love Captain Nemo's fucking ginormous tanking submarine, and we all love Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde being the Hulk.
Yeah, it's just the Hulk. Yeah, and it's awesome, man. Like it's like the Avengers, but with a bunch of like, you know, old literary characters that you have only heard of half of them. And like that's I don't know why I like that. I like the concept a lot.
Wasn't Tom Sawyer in there? Is like
he was. He was character. The main character. Yeah, Tom Sawyer was like the main guy, which is like what? Like what? Why? Why did you?
Did he have superpowers?
I don't think so. I think he was just a guy who like had guns and shit, like nice. Sean Connery.
Wasn't there a vampire?
There was a vampire. Yep, there was okay. a vampire lady. And there was Dorian Gray, the guy who's immortal, but his like he has like a picture of himself that ages for him, and mm-hmm, he can never mm-hmm. look at it because if he looks at it, then he'll start to age again, which is how they defeat him at the end of the movie because he turns out to be evil. And I'm trying to think. Oh, there's the Invisible Man. Hey,
yep, I remember that.
All comes back together again. Yeah, the Invisible Man was there, and he gets naked at one point.
Probably because he's invisible.
And I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that like stood out to me as like a major thing, but no, I think that pretty much covers us. Right. Didn't they go to Venice or something? I feel like they had like a big car chase in Venice.
Who could ever know? I know that they existed in a time when there wasn't cars though, because people were surprised by their horseless carriage, which was a fucking 16-wheeler. So. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I do know. I distinctly remember there being like a long car chase in a city. And I'm assuming that was that car that you were talking about. I don't remember it having 16 wheels, but I'm sure it did. I believe you. I don't remember. That movie, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I think we can all admit is a guilty pleasure. And we should get a really, really well done reboot with more characters, or maybe different characters, like, you know,
different characters.
Yeah, maybe some different character. Like, you can keep, like, you know, Mr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because, you know, you need your Hulk in there. But
I'm pretty sure he died.
I think he did. I can't remember. But let's skip Captain Nemo, shall we? Because, like, I don't even really know who Captain Nemo is. That was the one that, like, I...
From 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, I've never read that, and I know almost nothing about
that. Have you
read
Tom Sawyer?
I did read Tom Sawyer, yes.
Nerd.
I read Tom Sawyer and I read Huckleberry Finn, like when I was in, you know, school, like forever ago now, but I read those books and I actually read them because I was the kind of nerd when I was in school that most of the time I would actually read the books that were assigned to me, with a few exceptions. For example, the biggest exception being, Great Expectations, because that book is horrible and I hate it and I hate everything about it. And you know what? When we make a new League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie, I think Mrs. Havisham should be an immortal villain. That is what I believe. I think do you know anything about Mrs. Havisham, Steve?
No, you were talking about books, so I zoned out.
Okay, well, I'm gonna lay this out for you. Just this one character. Mrs. Havisham is basically the villain of Great Expectations, and she is a bitter old woman who was stood up on the altar. And so she continues to wear her wedding dress for the rest of her life. And she becomes a crazy hermit lady who lives in an attic and is rich as fuck, wears a wedding dress all the time. It's like this horrible decaying wedding dress that she should really change out of. But, you know, she can't because tragedy or whatever. And I think that they should make her into like a vampire or something, and they should have
sounds like
her
a good idea
villain.
For a ghost.
Yeah, for oh, that'd be even cooler. Yeah, maybe have like a ghost Mrs. Havisham either be the villain or just join the team. Either way, I think that would be a
you know
fun
if they
time.
Had her die at the altar instead of being left there, they could just do the Corpse Bride because that's the Corpse Bride.
It is the Corpse Bride. Yeah, it's like the Corpse Bride except that it's a horrible,
with less Tim Burton.
It's a horrible, horrible, sad old lady who should really just die and put everyone out of their misery.
What is this lady doing exactly that makes you want her to die?
That's the thing, is I can't really remember the plot of Great Expectations very well, because
but you know that this poor old woman who didn't do anything to no one is just sitting in an attic minding her own business should fucking die.
I know she did some shit. She, like I said, she was basically the villain. She didn't like the main character, who was like this young man whose name I cannot remember. And she had, I want to say, like a niece or like a great niece that our main character guy had like this big crush on. But she sabotaged that relationship because, you know, men are evil. Because she was jilted at the altar. I think that's how it went down. Something
so she
like
just needs
that.
A good dicking down and then she'll be fine.
It's not how I would say it, Steve, but like, you know, anything's on the table. So, you know, maybe.
Sure, on the table, in the bathroom, whatever.
I really hope that no one I know is listening to this episode. This is getting
why, because I said dick down?
Yes, Steve, yes. Because you said dicked down. You know,
that's nothing to do with you. That won't reflect poorly on you. That's just on me. Just I don't know any of those people, so it's fine. Yeah, dicks
true,
down.
That's true. All right, so let's move on to our next piece of news. Do you remember what we were originally talking about, Steve? I'm just curious. Do you remember?
Yeah, we was talking about the DC. And
we were. Yeah.
Ben Affleck. Nope, not that one.
Not that yet. That's our next thing.
Yeah, well, see DC something. Oh, how good they're going to make all the Supermans funny. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to make Superman funny. James Gunn is going to direct it. Yeah, good job, Steve. Okay, so.
Hell yeah.
I have this long quote from Ben Affleck, which I tried to read to you before before the show, and you don't care. So
I don't.
I'm just
no,
gonna.
It's really long, it and all really it's long. Saying is one point. You could just tell the one point.
All right. Well, first of all, the news is that Ben Affleck says that he will not direct for James Gunn's new DC slate. He said he has nothing against James Gunn, thinks he's a nice guy. He just doesn't want to go in and direct DC at all anymore. And then he went on to kind of elaborate on how much he did not like his experience shooting, or I should say reshooting, the Justice League movie with Joss Whedon, how he just, again, short version here, he had a terrible time. And it really, really just ruined his whole relationship to comic book movies as a whole, not because he thinks he's better than them, but just he just doesn't want to spend his time on them anymore because of how shitty an experience he had, which I respect. I, you know, as much as I love comic book movies, I feel bad for this guy reading all of this, which again, I won't read all of it, but it's, if anyone's out there is curious, like look up what Ben Affleck said in this interview, because it's quite sad. And goes
brew
into,
some coffee, cause it's a long one.
Bruce, man, you gotta be patient, Steve. That's your problem. You gotta be more patient.
I knew what he was saying in the first couple sentences.
I mean, fair. Yeah, fine.
It sucks working for DC. They don't know what they're doing. I don't want to go back there anymore.
Yes, that is. Yes, that is a good summary of it.
Succinct. It's efficient.
I still think that it's worth reading his full comments, in my opinion. I know you don't agree, but that's where I stand on it. Because I really feel bad for everything that he went through. But
I mean,
I'm
you
okay.
shouldn't feel bad for him. You should feel bad for that guy who played fucking the Joker and the vampire guy. You should feel bad for him.
Joker and the vampire guy. Wait, are you talking about? You're talking about Jared Leto?
Yeah, you should feel bad for Jared Leto, if anybody. You should feel bad for him.
All right, I think I should feel bad for Jared Leto or also Ray Fisher. Ray Fisher is the other one. That was the guy who played Cyborg, who had a lot of problems with...
I mean, did he go to the other side and also get a stinker of a movie?
Not yet. Not yet.
Fair enough. Not yet.
But, you know...
I mean, you should feel bad for Cyborg too, I guess, but you should really, really feel bad for that guy whose name I already forgot.
Jared Leto. Yeah. Oh, man, is Morbius a bad movie? Oh,
it's Morbin time.
Yes, Steve.
The only thing that was good to come out of that is that we tricked people. Well, not we. The internet tricked them into putting that movie back out again like we wanted to see it.
Yeah, that is honestly the funniest thing about it is, yeah, the memes led them to re-release it in theaters and lose even more money.
It's the same thing that memes did when they made Netflix put out the B movie, which I think is amazing. Not that I think the B movie is amazing. Tricked people into acquiring the rights for the B movie.
I hate the B movie. Like, I know it's a meme and everything.
Yeah, it sucks.
Like, the memes are funny. Like, I get it. But goddamn, do I hate that movie. I hate it so much. I can't even watch the B movie.
Well, I don't find Jerry Seinfeld funny. And that movie is just animated Jerry Seinfeld, so...
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, like, the woman gets in a relationship with a bee. Like, a fully grown, normal woman
that part's
is
fine.
Dating a bee. That's not okay, Steve.
I got me a little Pokemon, Batman. I got me a little Pokemon. It's a little bunny, Batman.
Is that in the movie? I don't remember this shit.
No, that's not in the movie.
What the fuck is happening?
You obviously haven't been keeping up on your memes.
No, I haven't been. So
this Joker tied Batman to a chair, and he says he's got a little Pokemon. And Batman says, "What Pokemon did you get, Joker?" He's like, "I got a little punny, Batman. I got a little punny." He's like, "No, Joker, don't do it. It's an animal, Joker." So, yo, I'm gonna know what to do with it, because you know Joker wants to have sex with Lil Punny. That's the joke. You get it?
Oh, it's Lil Punny. Okay, I thought you said I didn't hear Lil Punny when you said that. I thought you said like Little Bunny or something, and I was like,
it's not inaccurate.
I was trying to... No, it's not.
Lil Punny.
But, like,
he's gonna fuck the Pokemon.
Any...
That's the joke, Adam. He's gonna fuck the Pokemon.
I get it, Steve.
There's no laws against the Pokemon, Batman.
I get it, okay? And, yeah, Lil Punny has got some nice thighs, okay? I understand.
Do you? What's your three favorite things about Lil Punny?
Her eyes, her thighs... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And something else that raw and her fries. I don't know.
Nice.
I couldn't.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's it. And of course, then there's Gardevoir. You know, that's a whole thing. And
yeah, I like how she has a fucking guitar pick right through her chest. That really does it for me.
You just want to be stabbed mid coitus, right, Steve? That's what you're
it
all
comes
about.
Off the back too, actually. So yeah, I'm not sure people see in that one.
Oh, man. I can't believe we're doing this. All right. We're moving on. So
I wouldn't have had to explain it if you just knew what my meme was.
Yeah, I guess. In summary, I feel bad for Ben Affleck, and he has every right to not want to be Batman anymore or direct or have anything to do with superhero movies in the future. That is A-okay with me, man. I'm sorry that this happened to you, and I'm sorry that the fans who are like me, played some role in the shit that you experienced, so you know, so, I'm sorry.
You know what's cool about being Batman?
What's that?
You get to check it off your sweet actor bingo card.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, like, you know, there's some things not everybody as an actor gets to do, like be Batman. But it's definitely a cool space to have on your bingo card, because it's like
definitely
there's been a lot of Batmans, but there's also not a lot that is required of you to play a Batman.
I mean, I think that for him, he probably put the most effort into it of any of the other Batmans.
Oh, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, the qualifications for playing the character of Batman is pretty much just white guy. So,
yeah, it's white guy who built white guy. Like, that's pretty much all
like,
you need.
You don't
to
even
do.
Have to even be well. Built's not even part of the criteria because fucking Adam West was Batman.
Well, okay, yeah, but Adam West is like an anomaly in that, you know, like no one else. Plays Batman.
I mean, you're right. Nobody
Adam
else
West
can compare
Batman.
To Adam West as Batman. Obviously, that's true. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insinuate that anybody was anywhere near his level, but you're
why
right.
Does
Built.
All right. Just just keep my
I don't know why you don't like Adam West's Batman.
I don't like Adam West's Batman. It's incredible. I just don't care for it. It's so corny and dumb, and I like
that's
corny
incredible
things, it's just it's just
there's
not
an episode with a fucking shark repellent in it. Are you
yeah,
serious?
I know it's dumb.
Did you ever see the movie he runs around with one of those big circle lit wick bombs for like 10 straight minutes trying to throw it at stuff, and things like orphanages and old ladies and stuff keep getting in the way of where he wants to throw the bomb, and he says you can never get rid of a good bomb these days or whatever the fuck he says. It's incredible. It's the best. How can you not be in that?
It is so weird to me that you are a fan of that. Considering everything else I know about you, like, why, Steve?
Because nobody in the production of that show, even for a second, took it seriously.
That is true. That is true. All right, we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on
have
to our next...
Have you seen Robin's costume?
I've seen Robin's costume. It's
there you
hideous.
Go.
It's
fucking Eartha Kitt,
hideous.
Incredible
Catwoman. I've also seen Batman's costume, and guess what? It's fucking hideous. Like, I
don't
get
yeah.
it.
He fucking dances.
I have nothing but... I think Adam West was an awesome guy, and, like, you know, I was sad when he died, and, like, I have nothing but respect for Adam West specifically, but Adam West as Batman, like, I don't need that shit. Like, it's not
He was also Catman in the Fairly Odd Parents.
He was all. I like him better as Catman, and I know
it's
that it
the
was
same
a,
character.
I know it's
the
same
guy.
Character, but it's easier for me to swallow in animated form. Okay, how about that?
All right, fine. whatever.
All right, we're moving on. Our next piece. Of
I'm
news,
pretty sure Adam West also played animated Batman in the Scooby-Doo episode where they met Batman.
I think you're right about that. And see, again, that's fine. Like, animated Adam West Batman, sure. Live action Adam West Batman, it's too
is it
much
the eyebrows?
For me,
do the eyebrows on his mask throw you off?
Yeah, that is part of it. Yeah, I don't okay. I don't like the eyebrows on the mask at all. And I don't
that's
like the dancing. The dancing is weird, you know, where I've seen like
he was mind controlled.
Oh, good. All right. Just the whole thing, man. The whole thing is just too silly for me. It's like a really bad episode of Power Rangers in like
there's
in
no
the
such thing as a good
way.
Episode of Power Rangers, but all right.
Okay, there's no such thing as a good episode of Power Rangers, but there is such a thing as a really bad... Like, there are some that are bad, and there are some that
I will
are
have
like,
to stipulate to that. I can't
there are
confirm,
some that are
but anything
like
with spark
harmless.
Packs can't be a good show.
There are some episodes of Power Rangers that are harmless or, like, kind of fun at best, and then there are some that make you question how anyone could work on this atrocity of a television
yeah
series.
I've only like, seen one episode of no. Power Rangers to completion, and the bad guy was a giant pig head, and I think he had a fork and knife weapon, not a man in a pig costume, a man in a pig head costume, and he had a fork and knife, and I was watching these guys get fucking karate on by a guy in a bobblehead costume, and I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, I
not in a good way, but in like the audacity kind of way, you know. Like, yeah, somebody see, put this to screen and paid money to do it.
That feeling that you feel right there, that's how I feel about Adam West's Batman. That's
yeah,
how
but
I,
I
feel
think
about
Power
it.
Rangers is meant to be taken seriously.
Is it though? Like, I think it's meant
that's
to
the impression
entertain
I get.
Like, you know, 11-year-olds. It's meant to entertain.
Yeah, it's meant to entertain 11-year-olds, but it was meant to be a serious entertainment for 11-year-olds, like Paw Patrol. I imagine that Paw Patrol, when they write those out, they're like, this is a serious plot for Paw Patrol. I've never seen Paw Patrol, but I assume when they write the episodes out, the intention is for, you know, to the mind of a 6-year-old, this is a very serious plot. You know, little Jimmy sure. fucking got stuck in a tree or whatever, and they have to rescue him with or whatever they do in that show. I imagine that that's a very serious problem within the continuity of the universe. I don't know that that's the same for Batman. But it is definitely the same for Power Rangers.
Okay, I have nothing more to add to this. What I'm trying to say is I don't really like Power Rangers, and I don't really like Adam West Batman. That's all.
You don't have to. That's fine.
All right. So we're going to move on to our last piece of news, and it's kind of like a big one. It's like a bunch of things all wrapped up in one. So I'm just gonna start tearing into this. So first of all. So I didn't know this. I did not know this, but Netflix makes video games. I learned that like today. I knew that they did some like interactive game-like content. Like I knew.
Yeah,
I
knew this, but I forgot it until you reminded me because I did nothing with the information.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you read, like, Netflix makes games, and you're like, huh, really? And then it just, the information just goes away. So I probably read it at some point, and it just got blocked, and now it's, you know, it's coming back to me. But, yeah, so Netflix is making video games, and there are currently 70 video games in development with outside partners, and 16 in the works by Netflix, like, in-house. So that's a total of 86 games that Netflix is making, which isn't a lot. I mean, but it's enough for a single streaming service. Like, that's a pretty sizable amount. They plan on releasing 40 games within this year, and they, and as of right now, there are 55 games on their platform, which, like, they've been making games since 2021, which I, like, again, just did not register in my brain at all. If I read that, I completely forgot it. They are going to be having Monument Valley 1 and 2 coming to the service next year. I actually did play Monument Valley. Have you ever heard of Monument Valley, Steve?
Does that
mean anything to you? Okay, it's like this, like, premium puzzle game that released a few years ago on mobile. Like, it cost money, but it was actually a decent game as far as mobile games go. Like, much better than most other mobile games. And I bought it at the time, and I played it, and I had a good time with it, and then I was done. But anyway, so that's coming to Netflix. They're also making another Too Hot to Handle video game, which I didn't know they had a first one. Do you watch any of the reality shows on Netflix, Steve?
I don't watch reality shows.
You don't watch reality shows? All right, well, I do. Megan
okay,
and I...
Okay, that is your misfortune.
Yeah, Megan and I, we enjoy a good reality show together. It's, you know, it's a fun time to watch.
What are some of your favorite reality shows to watch together?
Oh man, recently. Well, all right, you know what? I'm just gonna start talking about this now.
Please,
we'll come back to the video game thing in a second. Well, first of all, the one that I really like, my favorite one, is The Circle. Have you ever heard of The Circle, Steve?
You can assume I haven't heard any of these.
Okay, I'm just gonna... Great. So The Circle is an awesome reality show. It's they take like a bunch of people. I think it starts off with like 6 or 8, and they put them in this like apartment complex, but they each have their own separate rooms, and they cannot interact with each other in person at all. The only way that they can interact with each other is through The Circle, which is like their social media app kind of thing. And some people go into this as a catfish. So some people, like, you know, they're whatever, their persona that they present to the others is not actually them. And other people, of course, go as themselves. At the end of the show, the most popular person, because they all vote, like, they rank each other from, like, you know, 1 to 5 or whatever. They all vote, and the one who is the most popular wins, I want to say it's like $10,000 or something like that, maybe $100,000. I can't really remember the exact...
Popular, I care about the money. By what metric?
Popular by, so like at the end of the show, there's like a final five, right? And they all have to rank each other from 1 to 5. And the one from all of those rankings that is the most popular overall is the winner. That is how it works.
Okay, but like this is just a group chat that these people are involved in, and you have to like decide which member of the group chat you like the most?
Yeah, basically. They have like different events and stuff. Like sometimes it's a group chat, sometimes they do these fun little games and events where like they do games and they can win prizes. And like the prizes can range from you get to go on a date with one of the other players, except that like you go on a date where you have this wall between you, and you get to eat some nice food, and then you get to decide who gets blocked. That's usually how that goes. And it's I don't want to go into too much more detail about this because it gets really complicated. There's all kinds of crazy shenanigans that happen throughout the show. The show gets, I think there's like four seasons of The Circle, and it gets progressively more insane as the seasons go. In, I think it was season three, they had two of the Spice Girls on the show as Catfish. So like they were just like the literal celebrity Spice Girls who were just pretending to be like some asshole. I can't remember who they were trying to be. And then when they eventually did get blocked, like they revealed themselves to actually be the Spice Girls and everyone lost their goddamn minds. And it was awesome. Oh, one time, this person pretended to be, I can't remember his name, but like the guy, he was some celebrity who was in NSYNC. I can't remember his name. Not Justin Timberlake, one of the other
ones.
Was
it Joey Fat One?
No, I don't think it was Joey. I can't remember, man. I don't know. But one,
pretty sure he's a Backstreet Boy anyway.
This one, it was like this celebrity's like personal assistant catfished as one of the NSYNC members. And then like, excuse me.
Was it Aaron Carter's brother?
Maybe it was Aaron Carter. I think it might have been Aaron.
No,
Carter.
Aaron
yeah.
Carter is not a member of NSYNC. Aaron Carter's brother is a member of NSYNC.
I think it's that one. I think it was Aaron Carter's brother. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. And so she pretended to be him. Eventually, she got found out and she got kicked out. But that show is lots of fun. And I actually do recommend it if you have like a ton of time on your hands and you don't know what else to do. Because like the stupid show is structured so that there's always like a cliffhanger right at the end of an episode. And like, I don't know about you, but I hate cliffhangers and I just want to know what happens next. So it's a good binge is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It's a good binge. It's a fun time. And I love The Circle.
That's your favorite one? Or is that one of the favorite ones?
That is my number one favorite. But there are some others that I like too. Another one is Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. That is where people are like they have like all of the men on one side of this place. I don't know where it is. They have all the men over here. They have all the girls over here. And they go on blind dates with each other. Like literally blind, where there's like this giant wall between them where all they can do is hear each other's voices. And if they decide that they're in love and they want to meet, they do more than meet. They get engaged. That's how the show works. They get engaged before they have ever seen one another. And then there's like it's like they get engaged and then 6 weeks later they get married. And then the rest of the show is just them. Like they go on like this honeymoon thing where they get to go on like this little vacation and get to know each other intimately. And they also they meet each other's family and they, you know,
a conversation that must be.
Yeah, it is. It's that one's pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. And that leads to all kinds of crazy shit. Like there was I think in the first season there was this one guy who revealed that he was bisexual and his new fiance that he had just met didn't seem to like that very much. Then he freaked the fuck out. And started cussing at her, and then she started cussing at him, and then they like broke it off. That was like their second day that they had like been with each other. Like it just
I can't imagine how it didn't work out for them.
Like
love isn't real, I guess.
These shows are good if you're like me and you just like watching other people's drama. Like I love me some juicy fucking drama, and the Love is Blind is really good for that. There are other shows too that I can't remember right now. Oh, there's one show called The Mole where like it's not a dating show finally. But The Mole is where they all have to like they are presented with these like insane challenges and they have to like, you know, perform all of these challenges, but the whole time one member of the team is a mole and that mole is trying to sabotage the challenges without letting anyone know that that's what they're doing. And so it's like this weird, like it's basically Paranoia the Game, where like they're constantly watching each other to try to figure out, okay, who is the mole? Why did they do this? Oh, they screwed up this challenge. They do that on purpose, or was it just an accident? And they have to, like, if they win challenges, they add more money to the prize pot. And then at the end of the game, whoever's left has to vote on who the mole is, and whoever is right wins the money. And if the mole is not caught, then I think no one gets the money, actually. But there's only one season of that show, and that person, they did win. They figured out who the mole was. I'll keep it vague in case you ever decide to watch this.
I mean, I bet they did, because the average person is not clever enough to cover their tracks that well.
You'd be surprised. So there was, I think there was like three or four people left by the end of that season, and each person voted for someone else. Like, each person voted for a different person as to who the mole was. And obviously one person was right, and that person won. But, like, the mole did a very good job at covering their tracks. Like, very few people caught on, which is kind of insane, actually. And we as the audience don't know who the mole is either. Like, we as the audience, we're trying to figure it out right alongside them. And be like, okay, who the fuck is the mole? What's going on here? I will admit that I was wrong. I did not see who the mole was going to be, unfortunately. But okay. It's fine. And then the newest one is The Perfect Match. And Perfect Match, which is the one I just watched with Megan
a week ago. To Perfect Dark. I know that one.
No, not a sequel to Perfect Dark, but it is a sort of sequel to all of these other shows, because The Perfect Match is made up of a bunch of alumni of all of the other reality TV shows that they've done. So they have, like, the champion from the first season of Too Hot to Handle. Oh, yeah, Too Hot to Handle is another one. That was the one that I started and I did not care for. So Megan and I did not finish Too Hot to Handle. But they have, like, people from Too Hot to Handle, and they have the people from The Circle, and they have people from The Mole, and they have people from, Love at First, or whatever the hell it was. Love is Blind. They have all of these different people that were in these different shows previously, and they throw them all together, and they have them date one another, and if they can find their perfect match, then they win a free trip to wherever they want to go. That one took way too long, in my opinion. I think that show was needlessly long, because it just felt like it took forever to finish it. I like me a good reality TV show. I know that a lot of people don't, and that's fine, but I love some drama, you know.
Well, you know, normally better. I would say that I wasn't into that, but now that I hear you explain them to me, I think I would rather take a toaster bath than watch any of that.
It's so much fun, Steve. It's fun if you're doing it, like, with someone else. Like, I think that,
But it's all fake. But it's all fake, Adam.
Yeah, that's not the point, Steve. Okay?
Well, but it is the point, though, because it's reality TV. That is not reality. It's fake. So that guy who didn't guess the mole, they paid that guy, like, $30,000 to not say
that. I don't care. I don't care, Steve. Like, I'm here to be entertained, okay? Like, guess what else is not real? Star Wars. Star Wars is not real.
That's true.
Like,
it's not. You're right.
Marvel shows
are not
real.
But that's billed as fiction. Reality TV is not billed as fiction.
I don't care. I know it's not real. I'm here to have a good time. I don't care if it's real or not.
All right.
Like, they can claim that it's real, but it doesn't have to actually be real. I don't give a single fuck. It's fine. Whatever.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it.
All right.
So back to this game thing that they were doing.
The Netflix game thing.
So there's a Too Hot to Handle video game. So the premise of Too Hot to Handle, by the way, just so you know, is they get a group of extremely physically attractive and very horny 20-year-olds, or, you know, 20 to 30-year-olds. They throw them all together onto this island resort that's just beautiful, and, like, they're all sexy, and they constantly give them alcohol, and they have them all meet each other, and everything is going really well. People are starting to get interested in each other, and people are starting to make out and junk and all this stuff. And then the trick of the show is revealed, and that is they have to survive here for, like, I think it's 6 weeks, and they have to survive here for 6 weeks, and they cannot have sex or have any form of intimate contact whatsoever. And every time they have intimate contact, money is taken from their prize pool. And that is the entire premise of the show, is watch a bunch of hot people not have sex with each other, but actually they're totally going to.
That is the most brain-dead thing I've ever heard.
Well, like I said, that was the one that I didn't really care for. That was the one that I was like, you know,
if money's on the line, you can't just keep it in your pants.
Nope, not these
The whole
people.
Premise of this is entirely flawed because all these people could, first of all, it takes two to tango. So all you have to do is half of that equation, have somebody who's like, I am not going to have sex with you to sacrifice my money. That's easy. Once I'm rich, I can have sex with you all I want. And all you have to do is just get together as a community and say, hey, this is a really easy show to game. All we have to do is just not do anything for 3 weeks. Let's all just take bingo
absolutely.
Or something.
From the early part of the first season that I've seen, there's like six seasons of this show, which I've not seen. But from what I watched, there was like one problem person, which, fun fact, she was one of the ones that was on that Perfect Match show later. She was, but there was this one problem person who just wanted to have sex with all of these different people. And then she would like lie about it. Like she would be like, no, it wasn't me. Like, I don't know who's having sex. Like, it's not me. And then eventually she got revealed to be a liar and everyone was losing their fucking minds about it. And it was like, you know,
wait, so if one person bones, does everybody lose money?
Yes, that's correct.
So ostracize that person then. That's all you have to do. You just excise them like a tumor.
Yeah, but they can't like actually, they can't like physically remove them from the game.
Well, you
like,
can't kill them,
like
but you can just ignore them indefinitely.
I mean, yeah, like, and then like they have to do all of these different weird like challenges and stuff where they have to get like super close to each other. Like, what was one that they had to do? I think they had to eat they had to feed each other strawberries using only their mouths, and they could not kiss. Like they, so they
that's
had to,
not
like,
even
feed...
hot. That's unsanitary.
they could not kiss, but they had to like pick up a strawberry with their teeth and give it to the other person, and not kiss.
I'm sorry, I'm allergic to strawberries. I can't participate in this challenge.
Okay, fuck you. Are you actually allergic to strawberries?
No, I love strawberries.
Oh, okay, I was just checking.
But I like money more.
But anyway, I don't really know how you make a video game out of that premise. Like, how do you do that?
It's like a reverse dating sim.
It's a reverse dating sim where you have to do everything in your power to not hook up with anybody.
Yeah, they're gonna give you like a boner bar and, you know, you fill the boner bar by messing up and eventually you cave. And the point of the game is to like remember Jesus and to read your Bible every night so you don't get tempted by the flesh.
There you go. That's
how you can do it. No one will want to have sex with you if you go there and talk about the Bible.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
Everyone
anyway,
would feel weird
about
it.
I don't really know how they, I don't really know how that video game works, but, they're making another one. They're making another Too Hot to Handle game.
Fantastic.
Excuse me. And they're making another season of the show, of course, which is unrelated. However... Netflix claims that they are, quote, very happy with their progress so far, in relation to user growth, end quote. However, less than 1% of Netflix subscribers use their game service, which is unsurprising to me, considering that they've been making games for 2 years and I had no idea about it until, like, today.
Right. So I just got my phone over here on the App Store and I found these Netflix games and they all look generic as shit.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, they're mobile games, which is not a game. That is a bathroom activity. So it's understandable people aren't that serious about them. There's a lot of Stranger Things things on here.
That makes sense.
And like Solitaire and shit, obviously. And some sort of wacky isometric JRPG shit. A lot of that. Like, some of these things I recognize, like, what do we got here? There was one that I passed before here that I recognized as an actual game that maybe just got an adaptation or something. But Valiant Hearts. Valiant Hearts is a game on Steam, at least. But, like, the rest of this is just, like, fucking SpongeBob Gets Cooking. That's just a fucking... You ever play one of those Flash games where you have to, like, assemble a pizza that the person specifically orders?
Sure, yeah.
That's all this is.
Okay, so... I don't really see
the idea
Netflix
that they are making video games is a little bit more credit than they deserve, I think, because they're making Flash games, which no disrespect to Flash creators. I'm just saying that from a multi-million dollar corporation making video games, that's not what this is.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. I'm kind of curious. I might look into this and see if there are any games that would interest me, because I do game.
I mean,
on
all
phone.
The thumbnails look an awful lot like those fucking generic ass games that you probably have seen commercials for if you've ever played a phone game before.
Yes.
And you have
yes.
ads, you've definitely seen the ads for other games using
Clash
the same stock assets.
Yeah. No.
Not even that. Like, fucking. You ever seen that one where it's like. They fucking have a guy climb a tower, and the point of the game is to pick the bigger number.
Oh, yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah, that little stock asset guy, there's, you know, this looks like something out of that. I'm sure they're not using stock assets, but, like, you know, it gives me the same feeling, which is not what you want.
I wouldn't consider myself to be, like, a hardcore mobile gamer or anything, but I've played, like, a decent
Well, are you a
amount.
45-year-old single mother?
No, but well, I do have a lot of downtime where I only have access to my phone. So like there have been a few games that I've played where I like just on my phone, just for shits and giggles. And most of them are trash. I've found.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think they're curated at all.
So I mean,
oh, see, I really like the classic ones. Like, I like Solitaire. Like, Solitaire is a good game. Sudoku is a good game. Like, I like games that it's like, okay, like, I know what this is. And, like, once you start a game of Solitaire, there aren't any more ads, so I can just play it, and then there's, like, an ad between hands or whatever, but that's fine. That doesn't bother me too much. Like, I can handle one ad.
Yeah, but
ad.
You're not really using the mobile game experience. You're just playing a not mobile game on your phone.
I suppose that's, yeah, that's fair. I think that is true.
Which is fine. You know, everyone likes a good game of Solitaire. But, like, you know, this is much more, like, there's a TMNT RPG, or not RPG, beat-em-up game is one of the options on here that I'm sure people find exciting. Although, I'm looking at the GUI on this thing, and your fucking controller buttons on your touchscreen take up, like, 30% of the game screen. And I just can't deal with that.
Oh, yeah, that does sound very annoying. I might play one of those games. That sounds like mildly interesting. I'll at least give it a shot. If I don't like it, I'll just stop playing.
No, I'm not even going to entertain.
Oh,
the
and
idea.
Then of course there's the shitty fucking gacha games that I used to play, like Galaxy of Heroes or whatever that Marvel Strike Force. I have still not gone back, Steve. I have still not gone back. I am standing strong, and I'm very proud of myself for not doing
good,
it again.
Good for you. Good for you.
Because those games suck away your free time like some sort of crazy-ass
Yeah,
vampire.
Well, they're scientifically designed to poke your addictive brain, so that makes
yes,
sense.
Yes, and I am a very addictive person, and I hate it. I hate those games so much, and I hate how effective their formula is on me, because it works way too goddamn well.
Didn't you ever see the South Park episode where Canada made a game to collect Canada dollars?
I have not seen that, no.
It's a Terrence and Phillip game.
Sure. Does it work very well, and does everyone play it all the goddamn time?
Well, most people got really bored of it, but Stan didn't. Stan got really addicted to it, and he gave away a bunch of money to collect Canada dollars. Or Canada dollars, whatever the fuck they were called.
Okay,
and
sure.
It was Canadian Satan that made the game.
There's a Canadian Satan? That's
yeah, it's not like regular Satan. It's Canadian Satan. He's like Satan, but like boxier, because all the Canadians in South Park are like boxy, and they have like flappy
like
mouths.
Mouths pop or whatever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Canadian Satan.
Got it. Anyway, I've not seen that episode, but that does sound good. I should watch South Park one of these days. I bet I would enjoy
it's pretty good.
That show. Anyway, so I don't know why Netflix is going all in on their video games. It doesn't seem like it's worth it, but hey, maybe people are playing it enough that like maybe the less than 1% that they've gotten has given them like a shitload of money, because that's usually how these games work. So maybe it is financially worth it for them, the, you know, fucking greedy
bastards. But like
bastards,
if you have a subscription to Netflix, you're already paying them. So you're not actually making any money off of these games because you can just play them already.
Unless they're
not part of your subscription service. I don't actually know. I didn't look into that very thoroughly.
Yeah, I gotta like learn more about how this service works. Like, again, I just learned about its existence today. So I'm definitely gonna browse it and see if there's anything that gets that is exciting to me, and then I'll talk about that in like a week or two.
Netflix games have a little N on the picture of the icon, so you'll know it's a Netflix game.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, that is it for the news this week, and now we can move on to the magic hour. So, Steve, or I guess I should probably try to remember something that happened last time. I remember there was like a lot of shit that happened last time, and something dangerous was... Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of fissures in the reality of Dominaria, I think. But then they fixed it. I remember now. There was all of these fissures that were happening, but then they did some magic majigger stuff, and they fixed it, but that changed planeswalking for everybody.
You got the mending, mostly.
Yeah, the mending. Yeah, that. The mending. Yeah, they, all new planeswalkers were, like, much, much weaker than previous planeswalkers, right?
Yes, but also all old planeswalkers were retroactively made worse.
Oh, they were. Oh, all the old... Oh, I didn't...
Yeah, all the old ones got brought down to the shitty level, and all the ones born after the mending are also shitty.
Oh, okay. I thought that it was... Never mind then. Okay. Well, fine. But hey, I get full points for that, man.
Pretty close. Yeah, I'll give it to you.
All right. So what do you got for me this week, the poor, shitty planeswalkers? How are they doing?
No planeswalkers in this episode.
Oh, okay.
The year 4510 AR... The first Aetherborn appear on Kaladesh.
That's it?
Yep.
What is an Aetherborn, Steve?
Ah, good and only possible question.
Yep.
So as you probably don't remember from one of the previous things we talked about, Kaladesh has refined magic into Aether, which, to elaborate on that a little bit, all planes have magic. Well, most planes have magic. And it's a free-flowing sort of thing, like the Force, I guess.
Sure,
they come out of the ley lines and the land.
Yep.
And Kaladesh, they did things differently. They basically found a way to refine that magic into, like, a fuel, like magic gasoline.
So Kaladesh is a plane, is that correct?
Kaladesh is a plane, yes.
Okay, just making sure.
So they refined magic on Kaladesh into a fuel source, which made magic very... very everyday source. So artifice is a big part of life on Kaladesh. Are you familiar with artifice?
Nope.
Magical machines.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Like constructs and robots and things.
They're
very stylized. They are not like big clunky steel robot guys. They're all like swirly and fancy, and they have little gold filigree and shit all over them. They're very decorative because art and machines are kind of one thing on Kaladesh, and you're basically judged on your ability to create those things as how valuable of a person you are. But since they did a thing and created a pretty much unheard of magical source, there's bound to be some side effects. And those side effects are the Aetherborn, which are a humanoid race pretty much comprised of magic that was a sort of side effect of creating Aether.
The robots.
Okay. Well, of creating the fuel source, basically. They just kind of appear out of it now. And shockingly, how they responded to that, instead of like how any other civilization would respond to creating a accidental life form, they didn't genocide them out of existence. They just kind of accepted them as life. And now Aetherborn are just regular citizens of Kaladesh.
Wow, that is very shocking. Okay, so
it's pretty progressive, I know.
So let me get this straight. So Kaladesh is a plane. And on Kaladesh, they were able to craft the native magic of Kaladesh into a fuel source that's sort of like gasoline that they were able to use to create all kinds of magic machinery. But these include actual robots, but also like other shit, right? Like cars and. I don't know, weapons and other junk?
Yes, okay. Cars and weapons and all sorts of shit. They're all not like how you expect them to look, but that is effectively what they are, yes.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so all kinds of different technology that they can create using this condensed form of magic. However, a side effect of that is these magical-born humanoid creatures called... I'm sorry, what was the name of them again?
The Aetherborn.
Aetherborn. So there are magically-born creatures called Aetherborn... that are basically a new race of people, and they're just accepted by society relatively quickly.
More or less. They're not, if I remember correctly, they're not quite on the level of, like, a regular person, because they're different than regular people, but they're not, like, enslaved or discriminated against actively.
Okay. That is
One more interesting thing about the Aetherborn, though, is that from the moment they are born, they know exactly how long they live.
Huh.
Down to the second.
Is this like some sort of like fate type thing? Like do they know how they're going to die as well? Or just...
Well, they all die the same way. They die from being unstable, and they just break down eventually.
Oh. Okay.
I think it was most Aetherborn don't live past 3 years.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So their entire culture, I guess you could call it, is basically about grabbing life by the horns and partying all the time until you die.
Huh. Okay. All right. And do they reproduce? Do they fuck?
No, they cannot reproduce. They are just born out of the Aetherflux, which is just the big pool of magic. A couple of them have a unique ability where they can actually suck the life out of things and extend their own lifespan, but that is a very rare ability and really frowned on. Because they have to kill people to do it.
Right, right. Fascinating. All right. I will try to remember as much of that as I can. I probably won't remember Aetherborn, because that's a weird name that I don't think will stick with me. But Kaladesh is probably something I could remember. And I can remember magical things made, like magical technology, like made out of condensed magic. I can remember that for sure. So, all right. Well, now we'll move on to our humble opinions. And I did not go last week, if I remember
correct.
Right. You just did a really long one. So I would like to go first this time. I'll try to keep this relatively condensed here. So I would like to give a little update on my opinions on Better Call Saul. I have now finished season 5. So first I got to do a quick little story about my pathway to Better Call Saul, right? Because I think I mentioned last time, this is my third attempt to watch Better Call Saul, but this is the one where I'm actually like, I'm fully caught up now. Now, unfortunately, I was really proud of myself for making it as far as I did with Better Call Saul. I was like mid season 4. I was feeling good. Like everything was, you know, I was very invested in the show. Wanted to see how it ended. And I thought that the final season was already out, because I had like seen people online talking about the final season and how it was really good. I avoided spoilers successfully, so like I didn't know what was going to happen. So I thought the final season was out, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to binge this shit. I'm going to binge this, and I'm going to be done with it. Oh my gosh, my phone is ringing. I'm turning that off. Excuse me.
Yeah, I heard it buzzing. Yep. I wasn't sure that was real, though.
Sorry about that. Crap, I lost my train of thought about, whatever the hell I was, Better Call Saul. The fifth season was out on Netflix, and I assumed it was the same as, Breaking Bad, which also had 5 seasons. So I binged it all. But then last night, last evening, I guess I should say, I only had like 2 episodes left. And I was like, I was feeling good. I didn't know how it was going to end. And then I saw a little thing on my phone that said, season 6 of Better Call Saul coming April something, like 16th, I think, something like that. And I was like, wait, season 6? I thought this was the final season. The answer is no. There are 6 seasons of Better Call Saul. I just finished season 5, and now I have to wait a couple of weeks for the final season to come out, which is very disappointing to me because I really wanted to like finish and be done with this show. But here we are. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. So, as you may recall, the last time I talked about this show, Saul was not Saul yet at that time. He was still Jimmy McGill, and he was having issues with, his brother, who was just tearing him a new one and, like was obsessed with, getting Jimmy disbarred because he didn't think Jimmy should be a lawyer because Jimmy was basically a reformed con man, but he was still conning people, but now he had a lawyer degree, so he could do it in a way that actually like made him money and was very, very illegal. So his brother didn't like that very much and was trying to take Jimmy down. Short version here, because I don't need to go into all the details. It didn't work very well. Jimmy was successfully able to get his law license back, he got suspended for a year. He got a suspension on his law license. But he didn't get, it was only a suspension because Jimmy humiliated Chuck, his brother, in court, because he proved in court that Chuck's allergy to electricity was all in his head, because Jimmy was able to slip a fully charged battery into Chuck's inner pocket of like his suit. And Chuck didn't notice it for 2 hours. So, and then when he finally did notice it, like, it was when Jimmy pointed it out to him on the witness stand.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So he completely embarrassed Chuck. And then Chuck kind of lost his shit. Well, really did lose his shit. And was just going on this tirade about how shitty Jimmy was and how you've always been like this, blah, 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 which was a very, very inappropriate thing to do in a courtroom, which is really funny because of how elitist Chuck is in regards to, like, the law and everything. Blah, blah, blah. Again, I'm going to condense this for time. Because of his outburst in court, Chuck's relationship with his law firm started to fall apart. And again, short version, he was fired. So now he was no longer a lawyer. And his relationship with Jimmy was basically destroyed. And he was completely alone. He had nothing anymore. Jimmy tried one last time. I can't remember what exactly made him do it, but one last time he went to Chuck's house and he was trying to figure out a way to repair their relationship, because he was like, you know, you're still my brother. I still care about you. Like, I want to make sure that you're okay. At this point, he did not know that Chuck had been fired. You know, Chuck was just like, Chuck was like, you know, Jimmy, I don't know how to say this nicely, so I'll just say it. You really don't matter that much to me. And, like, just completely shut him down, just didn't care about Jimmy at all. And so Jimmy just left. Like, he was like, all right, I guess I'm fucked, because my brother just doesn't care about me, and he never really has.
He kind of sounded like a dick anyway.
Yeah, no, he absolutely was. Shortly after that, actually, that evening, as a matter of fact, Chuck... because at this point Chuck was starting to go to therapy, because he was starting to realize that his ailment was possibly in his mind. Like, he had resisted that idea for a super long time. Like, he was like, no, this is real. But now finally he was starting to acknowledge that maybe it wasn't, maybe it really was in his head. He was also actively suppressing all of his emotions, especially his emotions surrounding Jimmy. And it was this emotional suppression that just sent him over the edge. And so he got convinced again that the electricity in his house was hurting him. He tore apart his house. He was convinced that there was a loose wire in his house. He was convinced that there was this loose wire that was, like, grating on his nerves. Again, not real. Like, that's not even... No. But he tore apart his house. Like, he completely just ripped it to shreds. He destroyed, like, there was, like, a little box outside that, like, measured his electronics. He smashed that. He smashed everything. His whole house was just, like, there was, like, insulation all over the floor. Like, you know, he was spiraling. He was completely falling apart. And there was no one around anymore. All this time, Jimmy had been the one who was taking care of him, but now he had completely ruined that relationship. He had no one left. And then finally he's huddling in his little space blanket, surrounded by, all of this, you know, what is the word I just used? The crap that was in the walls and stuff.
Insulation.
Thank you. Insulation. Surrounded by insulation, wrapped up in his space blanket. He has this little lantern, like, on his table, and he just starts kicking the table. He's kicking the table. He's kicking the table. And then finally, the lantern falls over. It, of course, sets everything, all of this insulation, on fire. And Chuck killed himself. He killed himself because he could not live with what he did to Jimmy, but he also was unable or unwilling to acknowledge that that's what was bothering him. that it was shortly after that that Jimmy, you know, who's now suspended, but now he found out that his brother is dead, and someone was, and his brother's former law partner told Jimmy that he suspected that Chuck had did it intentionally, and then he felt terrible about it because he thinks that it was his fault, that because he had fired Chuck. And Jimmy just didn't care. He was shutting down his own emotions, just like his brother. Now he's just moving on. He's blocking it out. He's moving on. He got a job at a electronics store, ironically. So he could sell cell phones. He was able to use that to build a client base of a bunch of criminals who cared about their privacy, because he could sell these disposable cell phones and be like, look, you know, people can't track your, you know, track your location or whatever with these disposable cell phones. Because he's a con man, and that's just what he does now. And no one can stop him anymore because his brother is gone. Then he gets his law license back a year later, but he decides to change his name. He doesn't want to be associated with his brother Chuck anymore. He is no longer Jimmy McGill. He is now Saul Goodman. It finally fucking happened. We are there in a show called Better Call Saul. It was not until season 4 that he actually referred to himself as Saul, but it worked out. So it's all good, man. Oh, God. Now he is practicing as Saul Goodman. His relationship with his girlfriend is fraying because she knows he's a con man. She loves him anyway. But she doesn't want to be a con man herself, but also she kind of does sometimes. Then Jimmy starts getting involved with the cartel, the Salamancas. Oh, yeah. So in regards to the Salamancas, we finally got to see how Hector Salamanca, he had a massive stroke because he was taking this heart medication that was swapped out with empty pills by this other guy whose name is Nacho. We don't need to go into his story because this would take too long. And it's just watch the show if you're curious.
Empty pills.
Yeah. So this guy, he wanted to take down Hector. So he replaced his heart medication with pills that looked exactly the same, but there was nothing in them. Like they was, and he did
this. Guy stupid.
It worked.
All he had access to the guy's pills. All he had to do was squirt a bunch of bleach in there or something. He'd kill him.
I mean, yeah, but he wanted to do it in a way where no one would suspect or be able to investigate and figure out what had happened. They just assumed that he had a stroke because his health had been declining for some time, and it worked. However, unfortunately for him, Gus, who is now a main character on this show, by the way, Gus picked up on what was going on. He realized that the pills had been swapped and that Nacho had done this on purpose. And so now Gus owns Nacho, because if any of the Salamancas find out that that Hector had been poisoned by Nacho, Nacho would be dead as fuck. So now Gus has total control over him. So he's still working for the Salamancas, but he's a double agent who's actually working for Gus. But really, he doesn't want anything to do with any of this. He's in way too deep, and he just wants to get out, but he can't. He has not gotten out yet. I don't know how his story ends yet. I'm pretty sure he's gonna die, though. That's my assumption. Probably. Since he's not in Breaking Bad, I'm pretty sure he's gonna die. But anyway. God, I'm getting tired here. I gotta keep going with this. Saul, the newly reborn Saul Goodman, is working for the Salamancas now, because for reasons like he had previously worked with Nacho, and now Nacho was recruiting Saul into joining. He agrees to pick up some money. He agrees to pick up $7 million for one of the Salamanca's bail. They have to bring it over the border, so Jimmy has to drive down close to the border to like this drop site, pick up the money, which is, again, $7 million, which is so much fucking money, pick up the money and then drive back. Unfortunately for him, he picks up the money. Everything seems to be going swell, but then a rival gang finds him, is going to take the money, and is going to shoot Saul. But then Mike, who had been following Saul, is able to snipe all of these guys, which doesn't really make sense when I really think about it, but it's fine because it was an awesome action scene, so I'm willing to just accept it. But yeah, one guy, Mike, with a sniper rifle is able to take down like at least 10 guys who are trying to steal this money. But in the shootout, the cars get damaged, so they are able to drive this car for a little while. It's Jimmy's old car. Saul and Mike are able to drive this car for a little bit of time, but then it craps out because the alternator literally got shot. And then they have to walk back to Albuquerque carrying two giant duffel bags full of money through the desert. It doesn't go very well because there's one of the people at the shootout had gotten away, and that guy is trying to track them down. And so they're traipsing through the desert. They have no water. They are very little water. Saul was not expecting to be going for a hike, so it's not like he's wearing shoes built for this. And it's going very, very, very badly. And Mike and Saul are convinced that they're probably going to die, but they have to keep going anyway because they have people waiting for them at home. So they're gonna keep going. But they are able to make it home, and they are able to they do a thing where Saul like puts on this reflective blanket thing, and then he walks out in the middle of the road, and that is so the guy is able to find Saul, and he's trying to run him over, and then Mike sniper shots him from the freaking like a moving car. Mike is able to sniper shot this guy, so they are successfully able to defeat all of the people who are trying to kill them. And they get back home, and they use the money to bail out one of the Salamancas, whose name is Lalo. He's an awesome character who I don't have time to go into at all at this point. But they're able to bail him out of jail. He goes back to prison. He goes back to Mexico after a very brief confrontation with Saul, where he is trying to figure out why Saul is lying to him, because he figures out that there was a shootout that Saul didn't tell him about, but Saul and his wife are able to talk their way out of that situation. He goes back to Mexico, and then there's this big shootout at his home in Mexico, which was orchestrated by Gus and by our man Nacho, who is now on the run from Lalo because Lalo did not die. There was going to be this big hit, but it didn't work. Lalo was able to take out like a team of like six professionals by himself, which is insane. And now he is out for blood because I think it's like his mom got killed in the shootout, so he's very pissed now. And he's gonna try, and so he's presumably going to go back to Albuquerque and fuck shit up again, and that is how season 5 ends. And now I have to wait 2 weeks for the final season. Overall, I really like this show. I think it is a very worthy successor to Breaking Bad. I think that overall it's much better paced than Breaking Bad. Like, it has, the dramatic moments build on each other, in my opinion, in a way that Breaking Bad wasn't quite able to nail. Like, Breaking Bad is a good show, don't get me wrong. But, like, with Breaking Bad, it was like this, it was very much a slow burn, where they had their occasional dramatic moments, but really, it isn't until, like, the back half of season 4 that Breaking Bad gets, like, really intense. And this show, like, is pretty intense, like, from season 2 on, and it does keep building and building, but it's excellent, and it's probably the best prequel show I've ever seen. It's kind of fascinating because the show, like, you very much have to have seen Breaking Bad to understand everything that's going on in this show. Like, there's a lot of, like, implied things that won't mean anything to you if you have not seen Breaking Bad. Like lots of the visual storytelling moments just don't work unless you've seen Breaking Bad. But I might consider this show to be better than Breaking Bad. It really depends on how this final season goes, but I've heard very good things about it. So I think I like it more than Breaking Bad, because Breaking Bad dragged several times, especially in the middle. Like, season, I think it was like 2 and 3 of Breaking Bad, like, really fucking dragged for me. It isn't, like, I think season 4 and 5 are, like, excellent. But, like, the first 3 seasons are not so great for me. So, in my humble opinion, Better Call Saul is a great show, and I wish that I had known that I was not watching the final season, because then I wouldn't have binged it. And, that's it for me.
Nice.
All right. Do you have a humble opinion this week, Steve? Or
well, no. I ate up all the time last week, so I'll just let you do it this time.
All right, that's...
Besides,
that's,
I have to wait one more week for Resident Evil 4 to come out, so...
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Okay, well, in that case, those were the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye!